The text of Scripture that I want us to look at today is verse 27 of Deuteronomy chapter number 33. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, the life of Moses, that great Old Testament servant of God, is drawing to a close. He is near the end of life's journey, and as he comes to the end of his days, he seeks here to encourage the children of Israel, and also to prepare them for their entrance into the land of promise, into the land of Canaan. And in doing so here in this chapter, he makes mention in particular of God's promised blessings to his people, to the nation of Israel, to the different tribes of Israel. Look at how verse 1 of the chapter begins. It says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." If you look at verse 12 of the chapter, you read there how Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, would be kept safe by the Lord. It says, "And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders." If you go on down to verse 18 of the same chapter, it tells there of the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar, how they would be blessed of God, yes, in their homes, but also whenever they would be away from their homes. It says, "And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents." And if you look at verse number 25, there, that verse really speaks of strength being given to Asher, as and when they needed that strength. It says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." And then in verse 27, our text, Moses says, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in thine excellency on the sky. And there he says how there is none who can compare with the Lord. One of the reasons in particular why there is none who can compare with the Lord is given then by Moses in our text in verse 27, where he says there, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them." And these words really show what the Lord was to his ancient people Israel. Not only do they show what the Lord was to ancient Israel, these words also show what the Lord is to all his redeemed people today. He is their refuge. And it's for that reason in particular I want us then to look at this great verse and these tremendous words in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and then the verse number 27. There's a number of important things I want you to notice with me from this verse. Notice first of all here how the Lord is the refuge who shelters his people. Verse 27 says there, "The eternal God is thy refuge." That word refuge there really means a place of shelter, a place of safety. It means a habitation of security, indeed a habitation of protection. And this is what the Lord is to all his children. He shelters them. He protects his people. Back in World War II, across our nation, there were air raid shelters to protect the citizens of our nation from the blitz and from the air raids. And when the siren sounded, the people went to the shelter to protect them from the falling bombs of the German Air Force. Well, the Lord here, we are told in our text, he is the shelter for his people as a refuge. He is one that shelters them, who protects them. You'll see how Moses emphasizes this point further in verse 29 of the chapter. When he says, "They're happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help." Notice the mention there of the word shield, speaking of the Lord. And again, it speaks of the Lord's protection of the Lord being a shelter to his people. And child of God, can I say, the Lord is your refuge. See that today. And as such, he is your shelter. He is your safety. He is your protector. He is your security in this life. Look again at what our text says. Verse 27, the eternal God, it says, is thy refuge. That word thy there is personal. He is your personal refuge. Believer, the Lord is one who will protect you from harm and from danger. As your refuge and as your shelter, he is the one that will protect you in the storms of life. He is your shield from every attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He is your shelter in every trial and distress of life. You think of the words of Augustus Toplady, that great hymn writer of a bygone day, speaking of the Lord. He said these words. He says, a sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. And believer, that is your portion in Christ. When the Lord was revealing this great truth to his friend Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am thy shield. And what he was saying there to Abraham, I am your shelter, I am your security as your refuge, I am your protector. And David also could testify of the Lord being his portion in this respect. Turn with me in your Bible over to Psalm number 32. Psalm number 32 in your Bible. And look there at what David says about the Lord in verse number 7 of Psalm number 32. He says in the verse 7 of Psalm 32, he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. He says, thou art my hiding place. And there he is testifying of the Lord as his refuge, being his shelter, his hiding place. Believer, the Lord is your shelter. He is your hiding place. Dear believer in Christ, take great comfort from this fact, that the Lord is your refuge. He is your shelter. He is a refuge who shelters you in life. And as your refuge and as your shelter, he will allow nothing to happen to you that is outside of his will for your life. Oh yes, see here that the Lord is the refuge who shelters his people. But then there's something else wonderful to note in this verse as well. We can say in the second place that the Lord is the refuge who supports his people. Look again at what Moses says in verse 27 there of Deuteronomy chapter 33. He says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And the arms there of God speak of his strength, his almighty strength, his almighty power. And this is the one who supports his people. In essence, God Almighty is the strength, the support of all his people. Think of how a father or a parent carries their child in its arms. So the picture here is of the Lord, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am, the Almighty One, carrying his people in his arms. The psalmist David testifies of this support in his own life, speaking of the Lord. He could say, it is God that girdeth me with strength. He says, the Lord girds me around. He upholds me with his strength. And believer, in the trials of life, in times of great grief, when the burden seems too heavy to bear, the Lord will strengthen you. The Lord will support you. The Lord will sustain you with his arms of grace and with his almighty arm of great power. Speaking of this support in his own life, George Matheson could say, there is an arm that never tires when human strength gives way. And of course, he was speaking there about the everlasting arms of the Lord being round about his people. Paul, the great missionary of the New Testament and servant of God of the New Testament, was one who proved this support in his life. When every other human prop and Every other human support was gone, and he was bereft of every other human support in his life. He found the Lord to be his sufficient support. You turn in your Bible over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And go down to verse 16 and verse 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you will see this, how he testifies of this. This point in his life, he had been forsaken by God's people. He was left alone as he was being tried for his faith. And look at what he says in verse 16 and then the beginning of verse 17. He says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." And then in verse 17, he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." He knew the support of the Lord when every other human friendship and every other human support and prop was gone. He could say, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and the Lord strengthened me." He knew the support of the everlasting arms of the Lord round about him. Again, think of Israel, the nation of Israel. Coming out of Egypt, they too proved this same support. When the Egyptians were behind them and the Red Sea was before them, and God intervened and God brought them through the Red Sea, and they could say this in the song of Moses, they could say, "The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation." They knew the Lord being their support. And child of God, can I say to you today, whatever comes your way in life as a Christian, always remember this, that the arms of God's strength are sufficient to carry you through. Well, that is why William Jenkin, the Puritan, could say, "One drop of grace is worth a sea of gifts." And the Lord, yes, is indeed the refuge who supports his people. He is the refuge who shelters his people. Notice something else today from our text in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. We can say in the third place that the Lord is, notice it, the eternal refuge of his people. Look again at what is said there in verse 27. It says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Mark that word eternal. Mark that word everlasting. Notice the mention. Notice the emphasis there in the verse. And it really shows you and I that the Lord shelters his people and he supports his people throughout all their life. He is the one who is the eternal, the everlasting refuge of his people. And all the changing circumstances of life, yes, the Lord supports and the Lord shelters his people. Indeed, Moses himself could say, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Believer, in times of weakness, yes, the Lord will be your refuge. The word of God says, "Of the Lord he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength." Child of God, in old age, yes, the Lord will be your refuge. In verse 4 of Isaiah 46, the Lord says, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to the hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Also, Christian, in times of sickness, the Lord will be your refuge. Turn with me over to Psalm number 41. And look with me, please, at verse number 3. Look at what is said there in Psalm number 41. And the verse number 3, it says there, "The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness." And that speaks of the Lord being our refuge in times of sickness and illness and bodily infirmity. And also, child of God, even in death itself, the Lord will be your refuge. For in verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 43, he says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." You think of the great promise that Christ gave to his people before he ascended up unto heaven. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And it was these words in particular that inspired the missionary David Livingstone to go on serving the Lord and living for Christ and proclaiming the gospel in darkest Africa amid great trials and difficulties and afflictions. For he knew, the Lord says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The hymn writer could say, all the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. The hymn writer knew, she knew that the Lord was her refuge in all the different changing circumstances of life. Believer, let me ask today, are you worried? Concerned maybe perhaps about the future, what it holds for you, individual, what it holds perhaps for your family, your loved ones? Are you concerned, yes, about a loved one, concerned about some family member? Well, no matter what happens, let this thought comfort your soul today, that the Lord will always be your shelter. The Lord will always be your support. Why? Because he is the great I Am. He is the ever-present one. That's how he revealed himself even unto Moses in his fears. He says, I am that I am. He is the one who is immortal, the one who is eternal. And can I say also this fact that the Lord is our eternal refuge? It means, dear believer, that you are eternally secure in Christ. Yes, the Lord who has redeemed you will never allow you to perish in hell. Through faith in the precious blood of Christ shed at Calvary, all your sins have been forgiven by God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Through faith in the perfect righteousness of Christ, you are accepted with God. And the Bible speaks of Christ as the Lord, our righteousness. And this means that you're safe from the wrath of God in hell. Because of Christ, you are secure, eternally secure. Turn with me in your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Look with me, please, in particular, at the words of verse 11 and verse number 12. Here, Christ is praying in particular for his people. Remember this, all Christ's prayers are perfectly answered by God. No prayer of Christ is ever unanswered. They're all perfectly answered by God. And look at what he prays for his people as he speaks here to his heavenly Father in John 17, verse number 11, verse 12. Really the great high priestly prayer of Christ for all his people, for all his church. And he says, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Speaking there of those who are saved. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou givest me, notice it, I have kept, and none of them is lost. There, dear believer in Christ, you see your security in Christ, through Christ. Because of his finished work on the cross, because of his great high priestly work for you in heaven, you are eternally secure and ready for heaven. Dear believer in Christ, we can say that this portion of God's word is precious, precious to every believer. Indeed, it is said that this portion of Scripture was exceedingly precious to John Knox, the great reformer of Scotland. It was through the contents of this chapter that he came to Christ, that he says, I first cast anchor in my soul upon Christ. And in times of trial and difficulty, he would often come to John 17. And it is said that this was the passage that he asked to be read to him in particular when he was leaving this world and leaving the scene of time. For here he found great comfort for his soul. Believer in Christ, think much upon these words, for you too will find great comfort for your soul in times of need. Indeed, it was Robert Traill who said, never did a believer in Jesus die or drown in his voyage to heaven. Oh, believer, can I say this is your portion? Why? because of the great truth of our text today, which says, for underneath are the everlasting arms of God. He's our eternal refuge. Refuge who shelters, a refuge who supports. But notice finally from our text today that the Lord is the victorious refuge for His people. Look at the latter part of verse 27 of Deuteronomy chapter 33. It says of the Lord, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Here Moses was telling Israel that the Lord would give them victory over their enemies as they possessed the promised land. No enemy would be too great for the Lord. Child of God, can I say this victory is your portion today as well? When you walk with the Lord, when you obey the Lord and trust the Lord and serve the Lord and do His will, He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Believer, the Lord can give you victory over every attack of sin and Satan and the world. Remember what John said to God's people in his epistle? He said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And they knew victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil through Christ, through the Lord in them, who is the hope of glory. And believer, this is your victory as well. Also, Christian, the Lord can give you victory in His work and in His cause, whatever that work is that you're involved in as a Christian. Even though there might be difficulties and trials and restrictions and hardship, the psalmist could say, true God, we shall do valiantly, for He it is that shall tread down our enemies. And then, believer, the Lord, yes, can give you victory in all the trials of life. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. He was a conqueror for God, through Christ. Believer, you too in this new week that lies before you can be a conqueror for God, not through your own strength, but through the strength and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer says, our stronghold is Christ Jesus. His grace alone we plead. His name, our shield and banner, Himself, just all we need. Child of God, be encouraged today to go on living for Christ. Go on serving Christ. Go on witnessing for Christ and in all the battles of life. Why? For the eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. And thou shalt say, destroy them. Unsaved friend, let me say this to you today in your lost, sinful condition. The wrath of God abides upon you. That is how it is with you at this very moment. If you're unsaved, the wrath of God is abiding upon you. You think of the words of that psalm that we read, Psalm 11, verse 6. It says, upon the wicked, he that's the Lord shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. And that speaks there of the wrath of God upon the sinner. That speaks of the wrath of God upon you who are unsaved. This means, friend, that you have no hope. It means that you're not right with God. It means that you are separated from God. It means that in your lost, sinful condition before God, that you are bound for hell. You're on the road that has taken you to hell, that broad road to a lost eternity. And the only way that you can be delivered from such an awful plight and have a right relationship with God, that's the important matter, that you have a right relationship with God. And the only way that you can have that right relationship with God is through faith in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, by trusting Him as your own and personal Savior. That's the only way you can have a right relationship with God. It's not by yourself. It's not by your church. It's not by anything of self or of man or religious organizations or institutions of men. You can only have a right relationship with God through Christ. If you are to have hope for time and hope for eternity, you must have a right relationship with God through Christ. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. You'll find it over in the latter part of the New Testament, one of Paul's letters, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want you to see what is said in verse number 9 of that chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Here Paul is speaking about God and about Christ. And he says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." And what is Paul saying there in that verse? That we can only be saved from the wrath of God and from the wrath to come through Christ, through God's salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the focus there upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can only have a right relationship with God in time and indeed in eternity through Christ. What did Christ do? What is so special about Christ? Well, as the eternal Son of God, the sinless Son of God, Christ came to this world and he satisfied God's justice. How? But by keeping every precept of God's law and living a perfect life for us, something we could never do. The Bible says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Then he paid the penalty of our sin. He paid the penalty of God's law for us by dying for our sin, dying as a substitute for us upon the cross of Calvary. You see, in the cross of Calvary, he bore upon himself the wrath of God. That's what the Bible means when it says he became sin for us who knew no sin. He became a sin offering. And he bore upon himself the wrath of God, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. That's for you and I. And the fact that he rose again from the dead shows that God the Father accepted what he done on the behalf of sinners. It says when Christ was crucified, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, showing now that a way to God was opened up and provided through that once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Dear friend, today, whoever you are, unsaved, wherever you are, if you repent of your sin, put your trust in Christ, rest upon a sacrifice and blood alone for your salvation, you'll be saved by the grace of God, saved forever, made sure of heaven. You see, the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." If you're not saved today, that's what you need to do today. Right now, trust the Lord as your Savior. Ask him to save you from your sins. And praise God, when you are saved, then the eternal God of heaven, he will not be your judge, no. But rather, as it says in our text today, he will be your refuge for time and for eternity. Therefore, this day, come now by faith to Christ and trust him to be your Savior. May God bless his word today to all our hearts. Believer in Christ, be encouraged today, whatever your situation. The Lord is your refuge. If you're not saved today, come and trust Christ. Know him as your Savior. Know him as your refuge for time and all of eternity. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us today around the Word of God. We thank thee for this great portion of Scripture to the people of God, that the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Bless thy word to every heart, to all who have listened, to all who will listen, Lord. Meet the need of every heart and life. Bless and encourage and strengthen thy people at this time, we pray. For any, Lord, not saved, speak to them today. And may they make the Lord their refuge by coming in faith and in repentance unto Christ, trusting him for salvation. Bless thy word to all our hearts. Watch over us this day. Enable us to gather again around thy word this evening, we pray. And keep your hand upon us, each one for good, until we meet again around thy precious and holy word. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Thank you.